Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for the business. As a friend of mine once said to his customers, thank you for the food. Scott Eblen is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Scott's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is he's an expert in leadership and management. He spent a couple of decades as an HR executive for one of the big companies. And he's the author of The Next Level, and he's here to talk to us about some ways that you and I can get us and our organization out of our own way. Scott Eblen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. Great to be here. Thanks.
Good to have you back. Scott, I talked about something. I don't know if you heard my introduction of you, but, you know, fear is such a powerful force. And the truth is, and I wrote an article about this one time about how fear can be either a motivator or an enabler. Sometimes fear occurs naturally and productively because it's giving you good information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes fear, though, is a demotivator. And when it becomes a systemic part of your organization, when it's built into your organization through the way the management practices are, that's the kind of a scenario that it can get really ugly. And so what I asked was, you know, we've got a lot of fear in the economy right now because of the uncertainty that's cyclical. Mm-hmm. But there also is fear that's what I talked about a second ago. How do we differentiate between the cyclical fear and the systemic fear? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, I think it is. I'd tie it back to your first distinction, too. The difference between the fear that kind of keeps you on your edge and on your game, you know, kind of keeps you alert.
Good information.
And then the fear that as people ending up like deers in the headlights, you know, like just paralyzed and afraid to make a move.
Right.
And it's funny, I've been writing a lot about that this summer on my blog. There was a story that came out a few weeks ago about how that BP Gulf rig, you know, there was a culture on that rig that the investigators from Lloyd's found kept people from speaking up. You know, they knew there were safety problems, but they didn't want to tell their managers about it back in Houston. And so I wrote a blog post called Fear Kills, and then I got a lot of comments on that one from my readers about, well, here's what happens in my workplace. So I ended up writing a second blog post that was kind of tongue-in-cheek called Seven Simple Rules to Create a Fear-Based Culture. And I sort of summarized the first.
If you want to create a fear-based culture, folks, write these seven down and perform them, and then prepare to go out of business. Go ahead, Scott.
Exactly. Number one, kill the messenger.
Yeah. You know, they found out, Scott, that there was a hierarchy, a chain of command culture in airline cockpits. Mm-hmm. That you know, the captain was the captain, by golly, and you know, you didn't mess with him. And that got a lot of people killed over the years.
Yeah.
And they finally figured out that at some point in time, you know, the co-pilot needs to step in and say, wait, boss, you know, I disagree with this.
Right. Well, that's kind of
real. And they're doing that now.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at the U.S. Airways flight on the Hudson, had a lot of good elements of that kind of thing, right?
And if you saw the one about the two 747s that crashed in Tenerife in the Canary Islands, 20 years or so ago, I saw the documentary on that. It was a classic example of what we're talking about. Go ahead.
So the second of the seven rules is kind of related to the first. If you don't kill the messenger, then you can thank the messenger but ignore them. Right? Oh yeah, thank you for that information. Give them that little pat on the head.
Placate
them.
Go on
and do what you're going to do anyway. Right.
Right. Right. And that creates another emotion, which is disrespect.
Sure, because he doesn't want to hear my stuff.
Right.
He doesn't want to hear my stuff. Why should I bother?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, ignore the people on the front line.
Hmm.
Better yet, make it impossible for them to get the real story to you. After all, they're only the ones that are closest to the customers and the competition.
You know, when Deming went to Japan and installed his quality process after we turned it down here in the United States back in the 50s, one of the things he did was he made it possible. He sold them on the idea that if a lowly line worker saw a problem, saw a defect or whatever, they had the power to shut the line down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're right there, right?
Right.
That's where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number four?
Yeah.
Let your insecurity run rampant. People love it when you do that. Show them how insecure you are by micromanaging their every decision or move. Explode in rage when they do something without checking with you first. Pretty soon they'll be paralyzed with fear and nothing will happen without your personal involvement.
Well, that's the opposite of leadership, isn't it?
I think it is. Maybe.
I mean, people will follow you even if it's wrong, if you're making a decision. I mean, obviously you don't want to make bad decisions, but everybody makes mistakes, and one of the things leaders make decisions, don't they?
Yeah, and you're setting me up perfectly because you're right. Everybody makes mistakes, but that leads us to rule number five, defend yourself no matter what.
Right.
If someone has to offer you constructive feedback, give them at least three reasons why they're wrong about that feedback.
or always have an excuse handy, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the plan as well.
Yeah, all right.
Number six, this one was called tease them until they cry. Well, you know, maybe not until they cry, but what's wrong with them if they can't take a joke? And people...
More disrespect.
Well, and bosses forget that because they're the boss and they have that title, sometimes they forget that extra power really changes the dynamics around a sense of humor.
Right.
And so that sarcastic...
It is an art for a leader... To be a leader, to command respect, and to make things happen, and still find a way to have a sense of humor, not only about themselves but in the throughout the organization.
Mm-hmm.
There's an art to that. Everybody can't do that.
No, it takes a real fine ear and a lot of awareness. Last one is number seven. Rule is keep them guessing. Create an air of mystery about what mood you're going to be in today. Benevolent dictator or ruthless tyrant? Only your lackeys will know for sure.
Well, also keep them guessing about what your plans are.
Yeah, totally.
That's another one.
Yeah, keep them running around and waiting. And
Scott,
that makes it all about you.
Give us the website.
ScottEvelin.com.
And the book is called The Next Level. And you got a version 2 coming out pretty soon, right?
Yeah, in October. I'm really excited about that.
All right. So hold on to that thought, folks. We'll come right back. We're going to turn this around and not be quite so sarcastic and focus on the positive right after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.